Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Final!
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah. Yeah!
Welcome to another edition of Drive Time Sports. KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. Always happy to be along with you on the afternoon drive. And boy, the national sports scene, specifically in the NBA, it has been extremely busy. And it started at about 5 a.m. this morning with the breaking news that the New York Knicks have relieved Phil Jackson of his duties, head of basketball operations for the franchise. I mean, it has been a mess over the last 3 years with Phil Jackson, last 4 years with Phil Jackson. A lot of excitement when Phil actually took that job, but expectations definitely have not been met. The Knicks were definitely a team that a lot of people were talking about around the NBA draft with the possibility of them trading their cornerstone in Kristaps Porzingis. Fortunately for Knicks fans, that didn't go down. And again, fortunately for Knicks, James Dolan's going to move on from Phil Jackson. And we'll talk about this. I got a whole segment in which I want to talk about this particular move. I want to make this clear. Although I was never 100% sold on Phil Jackson turning around the Knicks, and I remember when he got the job, the idea of somebody having success on the bench does not translate to success in the front office, and vice versa. I think you look at Steve Kerr as proof of that. Look at Phil Jackson now as proof of that. It doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be successful in other avenues. But I'm not going to blame Phil Jackson 100% for the mishaps in New York, because James Dolan is one of the worst owners in professional sports. Knicks fans know this. It's a mess all the way around. We'll take a look at some of the moves that doomed Phil Jackson. That broke earlier today. And then, about 3 hours later, we found out that Chris Paul has been traded to the Houston Rockets. Now, I don't know if you've heard about this yet. It was huge news this morning. Chris Paul originally had opted out of his deal in LA, making him a free agent, and he was on course to become the first ever $200 million player in the league. Now, that's not the option. He had to stay in LA for that. That's no longer a possibility. In fact, he opts into his deal so the Clippers can trade him. In return, the Clippers are going to get Sam Decker, Patrick Beverley, Lou Williams, DeAndre Liggins, Darren Hilliard, Montrezl Harrell, and Kyle Witcher, along with a top three protected 2018 first-round pick, and $661,000 to the Clippers in exchange for Paul. That's everything that the Rockets gave up. Sam Decker, Patrick Beverley, Lou Williams, DeAndre Liggins, Darren Hilliard, Montrezl Harrell, and Kyle Witcher. Now, with that being said, the Rockets still have large amounts of money to spend, and now they are looking to somehow lure Paul George from Indiana. Now, I'll talk about that more here in just a moment. Apparently, Chris Paul had his mind made up from the get-go that when he declined his player option, he was going to go with the Rockets and play with James Harden. So, once he told the Clippers, look, I'm going to opt out, but I have no intentions on signing here, the Clippers asked if he would opt back in so they could move him and get something for him. Not a bad move, not a bad gesture from Chris Paul, who really flourished. But again, that was never the plan. The plan was never for Chris Paul to be a member of the Los Angeles Clippers to begin with. Remember, he was originally dealt to the Lakers. Things never worked out with this squad as far as a championship goes. They had a lot of hype. We're talking about a team with three All-Stars, but they were ousted in the first round. The Clippers were determined to get something for Paul rather than lose him for nothing. And it's interesting that now the Rockets are going to turn their attention to getting Paul George, because I think it's the wrong move for the Rockets, and I'll tell you why. You could be renting Paul George. You may be renting Chris Paul. I mean, that's a possibility. but you're definitely renting Paul George if you make a move for him. And I don't know what else the Rockets could give up for Paul George. Giving up a 2018 first-round draft pick means you cannot move another draft pick until 2020. Because the NBA has a rule where you cannot move back-to-back picks. I don't know how they are going to acquire Paul George. I don't think they can without giving up basically any warm body with any sort of value on their team. Boston and LA will both trump offers of Houston. The next move on Daryl Morey's schedule, his agenda, should be to acquire Paul Millsap through free agency. Love the idea of it. Instead of playing rent-a-Paul George, go lock up Paul Millsap. And while I don't think that Houston, this is a step in the right direction to competing with Golden State from name recognition, I'm really curious to see how a Chris Paul and James Harden backcourt works out because both guys are ball heavy. They need the ball. Chris Paul is coming off of his best shooting percentage performance of his career, so he can play off ball, but he's most effective with the ball in his hand. Same with James Harden. So I'm curious to see how these two mesh in Mike D'Antoni's system. But at the same time, there's no doubt in my mind that Paul Millsap can mesh with these two guys. There's no doubt. Paul George, maybe not. Plus, to me, the risk is too big of renting this guy. And again, I don't know that it's a realistic option for Houston. I don't know what offer they could honestly put together unless they bring a third team in to make a deal. Go get Paul Millsap. If you're a Houston Rocket fan, Paul Millsap should be number one on your agenda right now because I think this team is close. Also, one of the key factors here, you're competing against Golden State in the Western Conference. If you go out and get Paul George, you still don't have anyone that can guard both Draymond Green and Kevin Durant on both sides of the floor. Paul Millsap, down low, he could be a nightmare for both of these guys. It's a great move by Daryl Morey. Again, the Rockets are active. They were active when they went out and got Dwight Howard. It didn't necessarily mesh. But again, Daryl Morey is being active. He's trying something. Now, just for financial purposes, because Paul is being acquired in a trade, at the end of the season, he's going to be eligible for a five-year deal worth an estimated $205 million from the Rockets. Now, if he had opted out and signed with a team other than the Clippers in free agency, the most anyone else could have offered him is $152 million, which still falls below Mike Conley's contract. The trade has an immediate impact, obviously, according to the Vegas odds makers. The Rockets go from 30-1 to 15-1, while the Clippers are now 100-1 to win an NBA championship. That's not going to happen. Now, as far as the ramifications on what this actually does in free agency, to me, Chris Paul in San Antonio made a lot of sense. That was the most logical landing spot in my mind for him. Just because I do have concerns about how it will mesh with James Harden, I have a lot of questions on how it would mesh with Paul George. That's why Paul Millsap would be number one on my list. According to ESPN, Paul lost trust and faith in his coach after Doc Rivers declined a trade last season that would have sent Carmelo to the Clippers in exchange for Jamal Crawford, Paul Pierce, and Austin Rivers. And so from that point on, Chris Paul had pretty much made up his mind that he was actually going to leave. And again, he's exercising his right as a free agent. But I would look at Chris Paul, and I would say, at the end of the day, man, you're playing with two All-Stars. You're playing with an NBA All-Selection Center. You're playing with Blake Griffin. I know injuries have been a big factor in LA, and injuries have really, I think, hampered Chris Paul over the last little while. Maybe a split's a good thing for both teams. The Clippers definitely did not lose him outright. They get several players. They're now focused on retaining Blake Griffin as well, which has to be number one on their priority list. And I think you're going to see several teams have interest in Blake Griffin over the next little while as well. Let's move over to Major League Baseball, and we'll take a look at scores and the schedule for today. Day baseball, we had a few games. Earlier, the Giants and the Rockies, they're battling right now, actually, as we speak. So is Philly and Seattle. We take a look at games tonight. We get the Cubs and the Nationals at 5:05. John Lackey going up against Strasburg. That's a fun pitching matchup. The Rays travel to Pittsburgh. We get the Blue Jays and the Orioles at 5:07. Minnesota at Fenway to take on the Red Sox. The Rangers will be at the Indians. We get KC at Detroit. The Brew Crew travels to meet Cincinnati. And then we get the Mets and the Marlins. 6 o'clock hour, the Yankees. Tanaka back on the hill. They'll take on the White Sox. The A's travel to take on the Astros, still without Dallas Keuchel. It's 7:40 tonight, Cardinals-Diamondbacks nightcap game. Dodgers at the Angels. That series is tied right now 1-1. And then the Braves and the Padres in the nightcap. That's a quick look at what's happening in the national sports scene. Fun show. We're going to talk about the upcoming International Days Golf Tournament. That's right around the corner. Nick Tatton's going to join us. Always entertaining when Nick is here on the show. And plus, we'll talk more New York Knicks. I know Chris Paul's on his way out, but where do the Knicks go from here? I think that's a huge question. That's coming up next here on Drive Time Sports.
Now Young with two. Let's it fly. It's good! Nick Young for three!
What's up? This is Nick Young. It's like you're listening to Drive Time Sports on AM 750.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL, 107.3 FM, 7:50 AM. We have a big event coming up here in the Castle Country. I mean, we are already at the end of June, and so there is a lot of talk right now with high school sports, but also we have a big local event coming up. It's the fifth annual, I can't believe it's 5 years already, the fifth annual International Days Golf Championship Tournament. It's going down on July 29th, and joining us right now to talk a bit about that, we have Nick Tatton with Price City here. Nick, always great to get you in.
Happy to be here. Yeah, 5 years. Can't believe it. It's gone by like a flash, you know. It's a big tournament. It's a lot of fun, and we should have a great day. I think you're going to be out there too, aren't you, Jordan?
I plan on it, yeah. So, you know, going back to when this thing was officially started, I remember talking with you and you said the plan was to make this a tradition. 5 years later, it's a tradition.
It's a tradition. We can hardly keep up with it now, you know, and I think it's real important to thank some of the, you know, it's a little bit of the NASCAR plug, if you will, mm-hmm. but I think we need to thank some of the folks and the sponsors that have really made this worthwhile. You know, Coca-Cola, Castleview Hospital, and Bodek are our primary sponsors. Sutherland's is a great big part of this. Parkdale Care Center's come on board this year. And so we have some great folks that have helped, in addition to all the businesses that are out on every hole, we have some great folks that have made this a real fun event. And you said tradition, you know, $100,000 hole-in-one, that's a tradition. You get a chance to shoot for that, that's a lot of fun. $3,000 putt contest. So there's some really cool things that take place during the day in addition to lots of sponsors, lots of free stuff, and a good time.
For those who, you know, for a golf tournament where anyone in the city can enter, I would have to say that this is probably the premier tournament in the Castle Country.
We like to think so. It's really become that way. And for folks that haven't been a part of it, sometimes the spectacle of it's kind of fun just to come out and watch. We've even had people hanging around that aren't playing or stuff just to see what's going on. But we start with the national anthem. We'll have the VFW out to present the colors. Jennifer Lopez will be out to sing the national anthem for us, which is a little bit unique for a golf tournament.
Yep.
But we think it's important to tribute America that way. And, you know, shotgun start is the word, but we don't use a shotgun. We use a bowling ball cannon. So our good friend Keith Cox brings his bowling ball cannon out, and that's the signal to start the tournament. One of your media compadres, Big Buddha from Fox 13, will be down and playing the tournament and help host it and have some fun. We do also always have a grand marshal, if you will. This year it's Rose Craven is going to get to hit a ceremonial first shot and get us started off. So a lot of fun. And again, we can go through all the businesses and the vendors that are at all the different tee blocks, greeting the golfers, giving away free stuff, having contests and prizes. I heard one of them's going to do a contest and give away a gun.
Wow.
So that's kind of cool.
Yep.
I guess shoot your golf ball if you don't hit a good shot now, huh?
Well, you mentioned the sponsors at every hole, and it's $300 per team, but I tell people all the time, through 18 holes, you're going to get something at every hole, which really takes away the cost in my mind a little
sure,
bit.
Sure, sure, yeah. So you think $300 a team, $75 a person, it's actually pretty reasonable. There's a nice tee prize. This year we have a nice big golf umbrella we're going to give out to everybody just for showing up. And then, again, at every hole, the vendors are giving out free things, and you come away with hundreds of dollars worth of prizes and certificates, and includes green fees, includes the cart fees, includes the lunch, includes breakfast. So get there a little early. It is a little bit of an early start because it is a big tournament. It takes a while. We try to start promptly at 8 o'clock. Usually we're pretty close to that. So registration's between 7 and 8, and breakfast is usually ready around 7 o'clock, and that's part of the tournament.
Now, again, this is in the format of a four-person scramble, which I think definitely is a lot of fun. That's the best format if you're going to go out out there with three friends.
That, you know, you can have a mountain of fun, and you may or may not win the tournament, but you can sure have a lot of fun. We'll have hole-in-one prizes. The folks, Tony Basso and Tony Basso GM, will be out there on hole number 17. If you happen to hit it in, you're going to win a car there and a chance to shoot for that $100,000. A couple years ago, we had a young man hit the hole-in-one and win a car.
Derek Young,
yeah. It was a great day. It was a lot of fun, and one of the first cars anybody can remember being given away at the Carbon Country Club.
Yeah, that was a pretty neat day because, again, you always hear about the contest, but you never really hear of anyone winning them. So I think Derek has kind of sparked enthusiasm amongst these contests.
And the neat thing was that shot gave them the shot or two lead in the tournament. They won the tournament as well. So they cleaned up pretty good. There's great trophies. Danny Blanton out at Original Creations makes the trophies for us, so there's some cool trophies, nice prizes for the winning teams. But there is also the camaraderie, the fun, again, all the vendors. And if you'd permit me, Jordan, I'd like to run through that list.
Definitely.
On hole number one, we have, I think you'll be out there, our good friends here from Castle Country Radio. On hole number two, the Eastern Utah Community Credit Union will be out there greeting golfers and giving away things. United Way will be on hole number three doing contests. Castleview Hospital will be out on hole number four. And hole number five, we have our friend Wayne Clausing over at Sutherland's. His friend Alf will be out there doing barbecue with his special Alf barbecue sauce. We've also rounded up the Bohemian Beer folks to hang out with him out there. Now, you're going to have to be of age to take part in that one. Otherwise, they'll have some lemonades and things for you. The Chamber of Commerce will be doing their Hit a Marshmallow in a Toilet Bowl contest out on number six. PZ Printing always does something fun on number seven. On hole number eight, Komatsu will be out on hole number eight. They usually give away a wedge for closest to the hole. That is also the Mayor's Challenge hole. We win a trophy for hitting it closest to the hole. Clear Creek Adventures, Mallory and her bunch will be on hole number nine. Ward's Landscaping will be out on 10. Charlie's Pond will be out on 11. And that's where I heard the rumor that they may do a contest to give away a gun. The Carbon County Travel Office will be out on hole number 12, and I think there's always a contest to see who does the best hole, and the golfers, everybody gets to vote on it. Sutherland's has been getting that, winning that the last few years, and I think they're really working hard to try to take that title away, so we'll see what they have in store. Wayne's got something literally cooking up for hole number 13. Here's these cooking brats or something out there. Cold Stone on 14, Tram Electric on 15. Good friends from Price Chapel will be out there keeping everybody sane on hole 16. Again, the hole-in-one car from Tony Bass on 17. And if you need a haircut, you can stop by hole 18 for great clips and see where you hit your golf ball. So that's a big, long list, but it is a great group of businesses. There's a lot of volunteers that we need to thank that come out early in the morning, help get everybody registered, get the signs out, get the signs picked up. Get the lunch set out. We got to give a real shout out to TK and all the crew out at the golf course for getting it all set up for us. So a great day. If you're not in the tournament, it is getting full. So call the golf shop, talk to Tom, and get your name and your team on the list if you haven't done it already.
Yeah, the deadline is July 20th. Now, as far as the team limit goes, you've typically tried to get everyone going that actually wants to get into the tournament, but at the same time, you guys have to have a cutoff.
Yeah, and what happens is they run out of carts.
Mm-hmm.
And so at about 30 teams, that's where you start running out of carts at the golf course. So it is getting close. Call and get your name on the list if you're not already there. And usually there's one or two that want on and one or two that something comes up and can't make it. And we do try to accommodate everybody to the best of our ability.
Again, this is Saturday, July 29th. It's the 5th Annual International Days Golf Tournament. Now, we have to mention this. Tournament proceeds will be given to local charities. I think that's so important as well. People always want to know where their money is going, and you guys have done a fantastic job to keep the proceeds right here locally.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and that's something that Price City is really proud of. The goal is to have a great tournament, and any money raised, Price City donates it back into the community. Things like, high school golf teams, junior golf leagues to kind of keep that going. Scholarships, one of the things the committee's really proud of is supporting the big American flag at the entryway over by Wendy's restaurant in Price. Those flags are real expensive. We use some of the proceeds to buy one of those every year. And scholarships, the food bank, Boys and Girls Club, the United Way. There's a bunch of charities every year, and it kind of rotates through them, but Price City is really proud to donate any of the proceeds to all of the local charities and spread that money around a little bit.
Once again, Nick, before I let you go, I want you to go ahead and invite everybody out. It's the 5th annual International Days Golf Championship Tournament. You guys have done a terrific job of making this the premier tournament, I believe, here in the Castle Country. And once again, it's coming around for the 5th time.
All right. Hey, thank you for having me out, and we'll see you out there, Jordan.
Looking forward to it, Nick. Thank you very much. We've got to pause for just a moment. We'll come back to talk NBA basketball. Outside of the Chris Paul deal, which is a big story, there's a lot of problems in New York, and Phil Jackson is on his way out. We'll talk about that next, right here on Drive Time Sports.
Oakland-born Damian Lillard.
Now, what a second season for Damian Lillard.
Last year's Rookie of the Year, an All-Star this year. It's Lillard! He got the shot off! Lillard got it! And the Blazers win the series for the first time in 14 years!
This is Damian Lillard from the Portland Trail Blazers, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with George Buscarini on KOAL 750 AM.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, 107.3 FM, 7:50 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. Right now, we're going to talk NBA basketball. We're going to bring in a great friend of mine, Jameson Welsh of BelieveTheHypeNBA.com. He's also a part of Triple Threat NBA Radio, which you can hear here on KOAL and also at CastleCountryRadio.com. And make sure that you follow both of us on Twitter. We'll give you the details on all that coming up in just a bit. Right now, though, Jameson, we have plenty of NBA talk to dive into. A lot of news coming out of New York earlier today. Phil Jackson and the Knicks, they part ways. I don't think this is a huge surprise, but the timing of it is interesting.
Timing is very interesting. It should have been done a week ago. Like, why would you let this guy draft and also have both your best two best players on the trading block? That, to me, that doesn't make any sense at all. This should have been done a while ago. And then paying him $24 million on top of it, it's mind-boggling, but that's what the Knicks do. The Knicks make these kind of things happen, so I'm just not quite sure if it doesn't make sense. This is the Knicks. They should have drafted Malik Monk or Dennis Smith, and they missed out on both of those guys, and they may regret that looking back at it, but this is a bad, bad move from the Knicks all the way around. It's just a bad look. They needed Phil to go, but the timing of it was really bad. They should have done this a month ago, because if you would have got a new guy in that wasn't going to run any triangle, then you could have got a better player than what they got. So it's a really bad move all the way around. It's a good move to get Phil out, but it's a bad execution on how they did it. But it's Knicks or the Knicks. When you have an organization that's ran poorly, these are the things that happen.
Well, look, I don't want to throw all the blame on Phil Jackson here, because that's irresponsible to look at Phil Jackson and say he is the reason why this franchise is in the situation it's in right now. Because look, when Phil took over, they weren't in a good situation to begin with. So James Dolan, regardless of what anyone tells me, James Dolan is shouldering some of the blame in New York. He is one of the top three worst owners, maybe in professional sports here in the country in general, not just in the NBA. This guy's a terrible owner. I mean, you have the NBA draft, which is right down the street from his house, and this guy goes off and plays the kazoo with his band. Like, that's the type of owner that the New York Knicks have. So I'm not going to give all the blame to Phil Jackson in this. Dolan has to shoulder some of that blame, but it's not a good situation all the way around.
No, it's an awful situation. The reason why I say I blame Phil for a lot of it, he knew what he was getting himself into. And when you're getting paid $12 million to be a GM or a president of operations, you're expected to come through on something. You're expected to deliver some results. And he hasn't come through on any results. They've been not Sixer bad, but they've been 30 games better than the Sixers over the last 2 years. And as we know what the Sixers have been doing over the last 3 years, that's almost impossible to do. So it's really a situation where I look at Phil, I put a lot of blame on him, because not just off of the situation, he made the situation worse. Yes, he drafted Porzingis, but then he alienates them. Him and Melo never really took off as a relationship. Their relationship never really took off. But any GM that alienates his two best players and is running an offense that doesn't fit the best of best of the abilities of the players involved, I have to put a large blame on that person, because they're not doing their job correctly, and their job, they're really in control of the whole situation. And that, to me, has just been awful. I mean, insisting on running the triangle in 2017 with that roster is borderline insanity. It really is. Like, it's borderline, like, what's, are you okay? Like, that's what I'd be asking. If I'm a Knicks fan, or like, I'd be asking Phil, like, hey, are you okay? You need to get checked out. It doesn't make any sense to run that offense with that team. You have a young team. You need to be running up and down, trying to get some excitement in the garden, not running a triangle offense that people don't know how to run and people don't want to run. But Phil, to me, is the guy I blame the most out of everybody. He might have 95% of the blame, but he's the guy I blame.
I blame James Dolan the most. To me, it's Dolan. He's a terrible owner. He's a terrible owner, and the Knicks have been in this situation for so long. And the reason, Jameson, why I say that I have to give Dolan most of the blame is because just the idea that they have fired Phil Jackson does not mean the troubles are over in New York at all. That's not what it means.
Well,
typically, when you
even though the owner's bad and Dolan's definitely had his situation, Dolan didn't piss off Kristaps Porzingis. Dolan is the guy that pissed off Carmelo Anthony. Dolan isn't the guy that has said, you know what, we need to play, we need to run a triangle. We need to run a triangle. Dolan, as an owner, has done a lot of weird things and a lot of strange things. But as an owner, he gives you the money, gives you the resources to do what you want to do. If you're a competent GM, Dolan's all right. But he just hasn't had a lot of competent GMs there lately. Now, Dolan doesn't have a lot of structure in the front office, so these problems do happen. But Phil is the guy who's been pressing the button. He's the guy that signed off on things over the last 3 years, 3-plus years, and that's the reason why I got to blame him for most of it, because his fingerprints are on all of these situations. I've never seen a 20-year-old guy or a 22-year-old guy refuse to go to an exit meeting on a losing team. I've never seen it at all, Jordan. We've been watching basketball for over 20-some-odd years. Have you ever heard or seen of a guy at 22 years old saying, you know what, I'm going to go back to my country. I don't need to talk to anyone in this organization. Have you ever seen that before?
No, but does that speak more to Phil Jackson, or does it speak equal amounts to Kristaps Porzingis? I mean, I think you can look at that both ways.
The reasons why he didn't meet up with Phil is because of how Phil treated Carmelo Anthony and how the whole organization is ran. But basically, his biggest beef was with Phil, not with James Dolan. And that's the thing that's like, wow, well, if this guy who's been in America 3 years, if he feels this way, or 2 years, if he feels this way, then this is really bad. We've never seen a guy at year two skip exit interviews and whatnot. Now, I don't think he should have skipped it. I think it's very unprofessional. And he's, you know, if other guys would have skipped it, imagine if D'Angelo Russell skipped the exit interview. That would have been very funny. That would have been very interesting how that reaction would have went. But I've never seen a guy 2 years in skip an exit interview and live to tell about it. Just never seen that before.
No, look, I get what you're saying, and I'm not saying that Phil Jackson should not shoulder any of this blame. I'm saying that there are factors surrounding Phil Jackson that have led to this. And I'll tell you, in my mind, and if you go back and you look at some of the bonehead moves that the New York Knicks have made under Phil Jackson, first off, it was signing Carmelo to a $124 million contract because, what, that was back in 2014. Problem with that is, not only did you sign Carmelo to this deal, but you didn't do anything to improve his situation. So you gave it, I don't want to say he was an aging vet, but you gave this money to a 30-year-old man, and you never fixed the situation. Going hand in hand with that, you made a move of trading Tim Hardaway Jr. to Atlanta to get Jaren Grant in a three-team deal. Some of the other trades that I don't think a lot of people are talking about, the Knicks traded Tyson Chandler and Raymond Felton for Jose Calderon and Samuel D'Alembert. Like, that was a terrible deal. They traded Shumpert and Smith for Lou Edmondson, Alex Kirk, and I think it was like a second-round pick. They made multiple terrible deals after they signed Carmelo to $124 million, and with today's collective bargaining agreement, you can't give one player $124 million and decide you're not going to try to improve his situation around him. That was Phil's downfall.
Hey, did you mention Joakim Noah's deal?
That right there, look, that was Band-Aid work. It's terrible now. It's terrible now, but it was almost, it reeked of desperation. I remember you and I talking about this. It reeked of desperation when they gave Noah that deal. Same thing with the Derrick Rose trade. I mean, they gave up quite a bit to get Derrick Rose. It reeked of desperation trying to fix a problem of surrounding talent around an aging veteran who has been very good in the past. That's what I took from those two moves.
At least Derrick Rose could still play. Noah couldn't play. Like, Noah's body is shut down for like the last 2 years. Like, that's the thing I had a problem with. It's one thing giving a guy that can still play, maybe past his prime, but he can still play every now and then. He can give you flashes of the old. But Joakim Noah couldn't play anymore. Like, his body 2 years ago, his body was shot. And then to give him $72 million was, I mean, it was mind-boggling to me. I thought that was the worst contract last summer just based off of his body not being able to go. And when I saw that, I was kind of surprised at that. But at the same time, what happens is, you know, when you hire a guy, and this is the part where I put on Dolan, when you hire a guy that doesn't have any experience and the expectations are very large, this is what's going to happen. And this is what happened. Dolan hired an inexperienced guy for a job that needed a bunch of experience and a bunch of, a bunch of different intangibles that Phil just didn't have and wasn't going to bring to the table, and this is what happened. So I do agree to your point that a lot of this is on Dolan as well, but Phil Jackson has been the face of it, and his fingerprints are on a lot of the bad moves. But, man, the Knicks are a laughingstock, and that's something that's been the case for a while now. And that's unfortunate because they're one of the premier franchises name-wise in the league, and that's just not a good situation.
Yeah, again, it's a terrible situation all the way around, but I have no problem saying that James Dolan's one of the worst owners in professional sports. I have no problem saying that because I believe it to be true.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, he's definitely up there. He's definitely up there. I mean, he's a guy that for years now has really meddled with this team, and they've made a lot of bad. I mean, you can write a documentary off the stuff they've done since 2010. When they hired D'Antoni and tried to play Amari 45 minutes a game and all that. You can write a documentary on all the blunders they've done the last 7 years and nothing to show for it but a second round playoff exit as their best season. So yeah, it's unfortunate. It really is. They have really good fans. They have very expensive seats. But at the same time, they're the Knicks, and they're always going to be – people are always going to talk about them. But, man, it's they're about to be irrelevant because they're going to – I don't know what they're going to do with Melo, but Porzingis is going to be there. I don't see any quick fixes for them at all. I don't see how anything gets done there at all.
No, me neither. And front office has already come out and said that they're not going to buy Carmelo Anthony out. Now, I don't know if that means that they actually will, or maybe this is maybe this is their way of upping the trade ante if someone actually wants to make a move for Carmelo. But I have to believe his trade value at this point in time, Jameson, is next to nothing.
I mean, you can get something for him, but here's the problem. With the way the NBA is played these days, who's going to trade for him? He doesn't really fit the way the NBA, the whole having the ball for 15 seconds, that's not the way the game is played anymore. So I don't see a team trading anything of worth value to get him. They may trade a back contract, maybe a protected first rounder, but I don't see a team trading anything of significance to go get Carmelo Anthony because he doesn't really fit in. He doesn't really fit the situation anymore, so that's the sad part.
Here's why I don't think you can give up a protected first-rounder for him, because the teams that have, if that's all you're giving up is a protected first-rounder, the teams that can actually absorb a $26 million contract are so far removed from contention that it doesn't make sense to do that at this point. That's why his trade value is so bad.
Can he go to Brooklyn? I don't know what Brooklyn's on the tap, on the cap-wise, but... Can you go to Brooklyn? Can you go across the street to Brooklyn and make that work?
They don't have any assets to give up. They traded them all to Boston.
They really don't have any assets. I'm just saying, like, let's say they just want to get rid of them. They want to give a couple second rounders and whatever contract to make it work.
But maybe so. I mean, for all the bad things that have happened with the Lakers organization, I bring the Lakers up because we're talking about two of the biggest media markets in LA and New York. I mean, the Clippers, they've been the exciting team. I get it. The Lakers have been very bad over the last 3-4 seasons. Nothing is even remotely comparable to what's happening in New York and Brooklyn over the past 3 years. I mean, when you look at major media markets and teams that have just been downright pathetic, laughing stock, the Knicks and the Nets are at the top of any list for major markets in this country for professional sports.
Yeah, I mean, they've just been bad for a while, but when you have teams that don't have a direction, this is what happened. The Nets, they didn't have the right direction when they were making all those trades. They were trying to go for the quick fix and trying to get aging veterans to be relevant. Didn't quite work out that way. They're better off just drafting the guys and figuring out from there. They would have drafted so many guys that they would have not had an all-star team, but they would have been a good team. Like the pick they gave to Portland in 2012 ended up being Damian Lillard. You know, so it's like, or 2013 ended up being Damian Lillard. So it's like, what are you guys really doing here? Like, what's going on? It's just a lot of mistakes, along the way, a lot of quick fixes or attempts at quick fixes instead of actually having a plan. So the Nets actually have a plan now, so I can respect that. The Knicks, no one knows what's going on there.
When that trade was made, and we're getting off the topic here with the Knicks, and that's okay because I think this is a relevant conversation. When the trade was made with Billy King sending basically a King's ransom to Boston in exchange for Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce, and Jason Terry, I think a lot of people questioned the trade. I don't think anyone thought that it would actually turn out this bad at the moment because, again, we didn't know what Brooklyn, we didn't know what the future looked like, what the ceiling was for that team at that particular time. Now knowing that they had next to no success with that trade, it looks even worse.
Well, here's the thing, though, Jordan. It was only like a one-year situation because
right.
the way the contracts were signed, like, you know, settled out at that point, everyone was pretty much on board for a year at the two most. Mm-hmm. So you're trading away future unprotected first-round pick. Like, I think that's the Nets' biggest mistake is they didn't put any protection on those picks. All those picks were unprotected, and they were free to swap. And it was just, I mean, it was really amateur hour there, really amateur hour on the job if you're the Nets because they could have – it didn't have to be this bad. But right now you're looking back at, like, wow, this was one of the worst trades in NBA history because they just keep on giving up picks and keep on giving up picks. And you can't get better when you don't have any first-round picks. So that's the biggest issue there. With that being said, they went after the quick glitz and glamour. Oh, we have star players. We have names. And then, you know, names, it works out. Sometimes it works out. Sometimes it doesn't. When you have aging names, it normally doesn't work out.
No.
We saw the Lakers a couple years ago. They had Steve Nash and Dwight Howard. Didn't work out. So that's just how it goes. I mean, you want to have youth and you want to have guys in their prime.
Jameson Welsh, definitely a fun conversation. I appreciate you taking out the time to join us. We were going to talk about some other topics, but the Knicks and basketball and that area of the country in general is so bad right now, we could probably do a whole hour show talking about it. Jameson, I appreciate the time today. We'll do it again next week.
Oh, not a problem, man. We can always talk about Knicks tape all we want. That's always yeah. a fun conversation. Yeah. They always provide content, good, bad, or indifferent. They always provide content, and that's why they have the most media members in the league because they always, there's always something going on with them.
Always. Jameson, I appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
We're going to break for just a moment. We do have more Drive Time Sports coming up right after this. We'll come back, put the final touches on this edition of the show.
Hi, this is Jason Kidd. You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Bescarini, KOAL, 750 AM.
Back to put the finishing touches on this edition of Drive Time Sports. And we'll talk more about the Chris Paul deal tomorrow. But I thought a good final shot today would be to talk about the Clippers and that window that was just slowly closing. And the Utah Jazz shut it completely. That Game 7 loss that the Clippers encountered at home, and it was a pathetic offensive performance from the Clippers. And that's taking nothing away from the Jazz. They are the reason why the Clippers were pathetic offensively in that game. But it was a Game 7 at home with three All-Stars and an NBA championship coach on the bench, right? There's no excuse for losing that game. None. And I know Blake Griffin didn't play. I get it. But should that series have gone 7, considering the payroll and the expectations based on the Clippers to begin with? No. It should not have. And you can say all you want about Blake Griffin not playing in that series. Rudy Gobert didn't play the whole series. Played when it counted. But the fact is, Joe Johnson looked like the Joe Johnson of old in that series. Like, there are some major problems in Los Angeles. And as far as injuries go, Chris Paul has had a few that has really, I guess, shortened the lifespan of his NBA career. And I think that Chris Paul's the best point guard in the NBA since John Stockton. I think that's fair. Some in LA would argue that he's better than Stockton, and I'm not going to get into that. Let's just say he's the best point guard that the league has seen since John Stockton. And with that being said, he has to move on to a better situation. Now, Daryl Morey, I trust him a little bit more than Doc Rivers. And I understand that Jerry West is now with the Clippers. I don't know how long Jerry West is in LA. And I don't know what direction the Clippers go next. Here's the question. You bring in someone like Jerry West, and you've had three All-Stars, and you may lose two of them this offseason in Blake Griffin and Chris Paul. We don't know that Blake Griffin's coming back. And there were rumors that the Clippers were dangling DeAndre Jordan. now may be the perfect time for the Clippers to blow up this experiment and start from scratch. Not to mention Steve Ballmer has mentioned that he wants a new stadium within the next 6 to 7 years. A new arena. Now's the time for the Clippers to get to work and move into Jerry West's vision. And I'm sure the logo has something planned. Out of time on this edition of the show. We will be back tomorrow to talk more. A lot of baseball tomorrow. We'll catch up with Coach Jeff Cinceteris of the Hopper American Legion squad, plus Steve Bordstein, a great friend of mine, is scheduled to join us as well. That'll be on the show tomorrow. I want to thank Nick Tatton. I want to thank Jameson Welsh. For Travis Anderson, I'm Jordan Buscarini. I will catch you tomorrow. Be safe. I'm out.